Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And I guess we're laughing because of what happened last week. Yeah, I wasn't going to look at you, but I had to look across the table. Last week, Ed was, what were you doing?
Well, we had been talking about our microphones just before we started.
Right.
And then you got me thinking about using the microphone the day before for a project I did.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realized we were
on the air. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because if I hadn't looked at that, I probably wouldn't have started laughing. But I looked at him and we had to start. But we want to welcome you here. It's always good to be here on New Visions Radio every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And what a blessing it is that Ray Powers has given us this platform.
Amen.
To be able to do this each and every week. And we're really grateful for that. And, you know, we're just coming off. We just had our series last week. We had our Bible series.
Yes.
And it ended a week ago because we recorded our program on it, and we told you it hadn't quite finished yet. Well, now it's done.
Yeah.
And it went pretty well. And if you'd like to see that Bible series, you can tune in to prophecyhope.com, and you can view each one of those lectures.
And they're on our website.
They're on the website.
And they're on YouTube as well, right?
Yes, they're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. If you just type in, go to YouTube and type in Prophecies of Hope.
And you'll get a couple that will come up.
There's going to be a couple of different Prophecies of Hope. Yeah. So actually, if you type in Prophecies of Hope and you type in my name, Mark Martin, or if you type in Ed's name, Ed Short, it should pop up because those are some of the search terms.
All right.
And so, Ed, tell us a little bit about this little ministry.
Well, we have a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley, and there's just a few of us here that are in part of this ministry. Mm. We focus on what does the Bible say.
Amen.
And that's very foreign to most people. Most people, they go to church, they rely on the traditions of the church and the teachings of the church or their pastor or priest or whatever. But we have made it our focus to investigate God's Word and to follow it versus what men say.
Hmm.
And so we have a Bible study / prayer time on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, available via Zoom if you're interested. And we have our church service on the Sabbath or Saturday. And we have a study at 9:30 in the morning, a Bible study, followed by our worship hour at 11.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some things that we're doing which may seem simple to people listening online, but I'm really excited about the billboards that we're going to do.
Yeah, we're very excited. What is the new one we're putting up?
Well, it's just a simple yellow background within black. It says, going from top of the billboard to the bottom is, what is right? What is wrong? Who decides? Then off to the side, we have the picture of the Bible.
Yeah, it's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in today's world, it seems like the world, the media dictates what's right and wrong.
Yes.
The schools, the government, but really God's Word is what should tell us what's right.
And there's consequences for not being obedient to God's Word. And we see that in society today. We can see a lack of godliness with the way the world lives their life.
There are immediate consequences, and there are long-lasting and even eternal.
Yeah.
That's right. So these things are very important. You know, you mentioned that a lot of people, well, just they go to their churches and they listen to what the pastor or minister says. I'm guilty of that, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. But it was having a desire to want to say, when I heard something said that, and I saw a verse read one time, and I read a little past it, and I said, something's not quite right here. And I just kind of tucked it away and never thought about it again because I was following my church.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone asked me a Bible question about what my church taught about the commandments, that's when it just came crashing down on me, when I realized they're teaching something completely contrary to what the Bible teaches. And
that, most churches do.
Yeah. And that raised so many questions in my mind and just wanting to know. That's how we met. We met through a group of people coming together, and there were just a few that said, something's not quite right here.
Right.
something isn't right. The Bible's saying something contrary to what my church is teaching. And so it's really important that we know and understand. We're going to be talking about that some today.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting text in the Sermon on the Mount that I think a lot of people don't give consideration to.
Right.
Because we look at our Lord Jesus, and we know that God is love. We know, obviously, His Son is love, Jesus. And so we kind of think, well, since God is love, He's going to overlook everything. But Jesus has some interesting words we're going to consider today. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's any other business we need to do.
I don't have any, no.
Yeah, just sharing a few thoughts about what goes on here at this ministry. So, Ed, would you pray for us before
sure.
we start?
Sure, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you again for bringing us together on the air to study your word, to open it, to see what it says, and that it may affect our lives, the way we think, the way we live our lives, and also to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in this world. Father, as we study these things, we ask for wisdom and knowledge to apply them to our lives, and we ask for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So, Ed, where were we? Where did we leave off last week?
Well, we're going to be starting in Matthew 7, verse 12.
Okay.
And, you know, I have an interesting title above this three-verse section of my Bible. It's called The Golden Rule.
Hmm. Okay.
I think that used to be a common saying, common knowledge about this saying of the Golden Rule and what it was about. So
okay.
Let's read about it. Could you read verses 12 through 14?
Sure. So this is Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it."
So this verse, first verse, verse 12, says, however you want men to treat you, that's how you should treat other people.
Hmm.
It's been known as the Golden Rule ever since I was a little child.
I've heard that over and over again.
And sometimes in the busyness of our lives, and so much happening faster in our life, we don't always think in these terms.
Mm.
Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I get this immediate emotion reaction to something that I see happening, and I don't think about this golden rule that I should treat others the way that I would like to be treated.
Right. I think in the heat of the moment, sometimes, you know, you're sitting at a stoplight and you're in a hurry, and that person keeps their foot on the brake a little longer, and you just lay on the horn, you know. I know when I'm sitting at the front and somebody does that, I think, now why'd you do that? I was getting ready to take off.
Yeah.
So we don't always consider, or you're in the grocery store in the checkout line and the 12 items or less, and they have a basket full of groceries,
right.
You know. So how would I want to be treated if maybe I didn't see that sign?
Right, or maybe somebody in the store told you to go to that.
That's true.
Register, yeah.
Or maybe you have a disability that you couldn't see or couldn't read the sign, you know. So it's easier said than done, isn't it?
It's a mindset. It's a change in our heart and mind to, I guess, put others first.
Mm. It is.
Which isn't promoted too much today.
This world is very selfish.
Yeah.
And it tends to, that grows on us because, let's face it, sin has made us selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Sin itself makes me want to do what I want to do. Paul, the Apostle Paul, we've talked about this, Ed. The Apostle Paul had that struggle in Romans 7.
Yes.
We've talked about that a number of times. And so this isn't something that's new. If you're struggling with this, this is something that, believe it or not, it can be overcome.
Sure.
And the only way that that can happen is through prayer and knowing the Father and His Son and study of the Bible.
Right. You know, we're affected, whether we realize not or not, by the people we surround ourselves with.
Mm.
They affect us. They affect our thinking, the words that come out of our mouth, how we treat each other. But if you spend more time with God and the Son, their characters will affect your life.
Sure.
For the better.
Absolutely. In fact, when we look at the Bible accounts and the things that happen in the Gospels, Jesus was treating people with the loving kindness that we should treat them. He treated people the way they wanted to be treated.
Right.
And so what a great example we have. He was always constantly trying to get the Pharisees to see these things. When he healed a man on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And they accused him of wrongdoing. And he was saying, hey, who of you wouldn't get your ox out of the ditch, right?
So, or you lead your animal to be fed or to be watered, you know?
Sure. And so, you know, that's the thing. We have to, it's difficult in this world because it's so, think about it, all commercials that we see, Ed, are what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all appealing to what the selfish person wants.
If you don't have this particular brand of shoe or clothing, then you're not up to standard in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Or this car. Or
you're not living life to the best or whatever.
If you're not listening to this music or drinking this kind of cola, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
It's all about me, me, me.
Right.
So it's interesting that your Bible puts a separation there between 11 and 12. Mine has it between 12 and 13.
Really?
Mine includes verse 12 in with the ask, seek, knock that we did last
week. Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And then mine has a title over 13 that says, The Narrow Way.
Yeah. Okay.
So any other thoughts on verse 12?
Well, verse 12, you know, this, if you notice the whole sentence, let me just read it from the Modern King James. Therefore, all things, whatever you desire that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is a good suggestion.
That's good. No, that's not what mine says. It says, this is the law and the prophets.
This is what God expects of us.
So if we go back to and we look at the commandments in Exodus, you know, I'm thinking of the, especially the last of the Ten Commandments, I guess we would call it 5 through 10,
right.
They apply to people around us.
It applies to our interaction with each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, I have it right here, Exodus chapter 20. And
this is the Ten Commandments, right?
And I'm just going to start, since we're talking about those around us,
okay.
I'm just going to start in verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So, do we see people today honoring their parents a lot? I mean, some do. I see a number of, most of my friends honor their mom and dad, you know, and they take care of them, and they make sure that they get what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, it seems that I see so much disrespect for parents in this world.
Even if you have a conflict with your parents, even if you have disagreement or different ways of thinking, doesn't mean you have to disrespect them.
That's correct. You know, and I don't mind saying this, and if my dad's listening, he wouldn't mind if I said it. And my dad and I disagree on things, even on Bible texts.
Right.
And sometimes we butt heads and go round and round, but I've never spoken up or I've never hollered at my dad or raised my voice to him because that's part of honoring him.
Right.
You know, he's older than me and he's my dad.
Right.
So there's a certain respect. I can disagree with him.
Right.
But I should do so in a loving and kind way.
Right.
It's a big difference.
And let's face it, it's not always easy to do if you
it's
get
not.
Emotionally involved in whatever this disagreement is.
Oh yeah, there are times that I've wanted to just scream at the top of my lungs, and he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, usually once those conversations are done, he always tells me, you know, I appreciate the way you handled that, and because he knows it's hard. And this is the devil's trying to push our buttons,
right?
And he'll use any means he can to get us to go against what God's word says. Whatever that is. Any thoughts on that?
No, I think that's good.
The next one, of course, you shall not murder.
Right.
Now, Ed, is this just talking about the act of committing a murder?
No. Jesus talks about if you have anger or hate in your heart to someone else, it's like murder. Why? Because that's where murder starts.
In the heart.
Yeah. When you start with those feelings, you build and build and build upon them, and you end up taking someone's life.
And this is why in the Old Testament we're told that David wanted a new heart put in him.
Yes.
Because he realized that there was something wrong with the things that he
says, create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Mm. Yeah. Is that a prayer we can pray today?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, and that's a hard prayer to pray, particularly if you feel like, I've just got to be honest here. When there are times in my life when I knew that what I was doing wasn't quite right and I was mad at somebody, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, I really need to pray for this person, but I don't want to pray for them.
Right.
And in fact, I don't think I should even approach God in prayer, feeling the way I feel. I've felt that way. But isn't that when we need it the most?
Right, yeah. Sometimes if you're in that situation, try to find something about that person that say, I need to pray about this particular thing for that person, even though I'm mad at them, even though, I don't see how things can be worked out. Find something in their life that you think would be beneficial to them, whether it's maybe they have an illness, maybe they have a sickness, maybe they have a financial difficulty, or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them about that one thing. And by doing that, your heart will start to change.
Amen. It surely will. And these aren't things that we can, these aren't things that we can do in ourselves.
Our own strength.
Yeah. Right. And so murder starts, any act that we do starts in our brain, right? In our heart, in our mind. We actually, is it James that says that when the thought becomes fertile, it gives birth to sin?
Yeah.
And so we have to get these things out of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a certain body, so if there's something that is driving us to think about, I just wish that person weren't even here.
Mm.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. So verse 14 says, you shall not commit adultery. So again, is that just the act of adultery?
No, again, Jesus talks about when you look at a woman with lust in your heart, that's the beginning of adultery.
Yeah, that's actually in Matthew 5. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. It's just a couple of pages from where we were. I'll just, Matthew 5, 27 and 28. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
Yeah, so, that's the way with all sin is in our lives. It starts with us thinking about it, maybe concentrating on it, dwelling on it, whatever. Whether it's the lust of the flesh, desire of things of the world, or disagreements with people, or especially in this day and age politically, it's just unreal. And just the general attitude of total disregard for each other that we have in the world today.
Ed, you touched on something because there's so much hate you have in this country, in the United States, and probably in other countries too. There are dominantly here in this country two political parties.
Right.
And on both sides, there seems to be hate and contempt for the other side.
Right.
And if they could lay those things aside and say, look, let's see what we can do to do things according to God's will.
Right.
We used to have the Ten Commandments on buildings and in front of courthouses.
In courtrooms.
Yeah. And a lot of the justice that was done in this country for many years was done based on these very things that we're reading. And so in this country of the United States, they've began to remove these things from the courthouses and remove them from their way of doing things. And you can see it in the character of the people who are making and enforcing and want these laws.
You just remind me of something I just read this morning. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Okay.
And this is this can be applied to today.
Mm.
Hosea 4:6, Modern King James Version, says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest to me. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your sons, even I."
Mm.
We reject the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of who God is, the knowledge of how God expects us to live our lives, not just because he says that's the way we should do it, but because it's for our benefit.
Absolutely. In fact, he says, "I will destroy those." But think about it. It's self-destructive to not follow those things. And that's what we see. We see the breakdown of moral society when we remove these commandments from our lives and from our culture. When they were removed, everything starts to decay. Everything starts to come apart.
Let me read verses 10 and 11, maybe a little bit farther on.
Sure.
It says, "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall fornicate and not increase, because they have stopped taking heed to Jehovah."
Mm-hmm.
"Fornication and wine, new wine take away the heart."
Wow.
Listen to that. It changes your heart.
Yes.
"My people seek advice from wooden idols," or false gods, "and their rod declares to them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to go astray, and they have gone lusting away from under their God." This is the way of the world today.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. This is why, as a ministry, we believe that we are living in the end of this. We're nearing the end of this world. It's getting ever closer.
There's text in Revelation that tell us, "Come out of Babylon, my people."
Yes, there are. In fact, I think we're going to get there in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
But I thought it was important to come back here to these commandments,
right.
You know, not committing murder, not committing adultery, all of these, not stealing, not bearing false witness, not coveting.
What is bearing false witness?
Lying.
Okay.
Yeah. On one another or lying to another.
Yeah.
Right? And what do we see? You know, I turn on the news and I see these political debates and you see these half-truths. Well, a half-truth is a lie. You know,
right.
Somebody will ask somebody something and they'll answer with not the full answer.
Right. You know, lately I've noticed these YouTube shorts and it's a young couple out there, seem to have a very good relationship. But all their videos, they're funny, they're entertaining, but they're all based on deception and lies. And I'm thinking, that can't be good. Even though they're doing it for entertainment, that cannot be good for their relationship.
You know, I think you and I, last week when we were right here in the studio, when the mics were off, when we were through, we started talking about that, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I had mentioned a comment that Rick's wife, he's in ministry with us. He used to do this program, and I think he'll come back as he has more time. But his wife made a comment one time about watching, and this might offend people. There's a TV show used to be in the 50s called I Love Lucy. I'll admit, I loved watching that show. It was funny. It would make me just actually laugh out loud.
Yeah.
And she pointed out that the whole premise of the show is built on her lying to her husband, Ricky.
Right.
And the whole show is about deception and deceit. And I'd never really considered that. And, you know, those things can subtly erode away at our sense of morality and what's right and wrong. And we tend to start justifying them. And, you know, when she made the comment, it struck me because I thought, you know, I like this show. Should I be bringing this into my home?
Right.
And
what you bring into your life affects you, whether you want to admit it or not.
100%. You know, what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, what we touch with our hands, the things that we smell, and even the things that we eat and taste.
Yes.
These senses shape us according to whether we're going to live according to what God wants or not.
Yeah.
They affect us. Our senses are how we take in information, and that's what turns us into either a child of God or a follower of Satan.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. And there are people who will laugh at that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going by what God's word says.
Yeah.
It's what it says. So, and also coveting. This is something that's so pronounced today. You know, people covet things so much that they begin to steal mm-hmm. what other people have. Yeah, and this whole, you know, think about it. If people just wouldn't steal, if you just took that one commandment, if they wouldn't steal, well, first of all, if they didn't steal, then they wouldn't be committing adultery because really you're stealing the person's spouse. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to have lock boxes. You wouldn't have to put locks on your doors, right? You wouldn't have to have virus protection on your computer.
Right.
Wow. And what do they call them? These things that put you in a tube. They call it, that's on the internet that protect you. I forget what they call it. You know what I'm talking about. It kind of protects your site.
Vault or
something
like
that.
Virus vault or something.
I forget what it's called. But
antivirus software or
that. But there, yeah. It's actually it puts you. What do they call that? That's going to bother me now. It actually puts you in your own little area to where nobody can see what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. It's like internet access.
Yeah.
Your own private virtual.
I forget what they
virtual
call it. Why can
access,
I not remember
like that?
Yeah, a VPN, virtual private network. Yeah. That's it. I had to look at my phone to find it. But these are things that we pay lots of money for to keep people from stealing. And if people just say, you know what, I'm not going to steal anymore. Think about how prices would come down and the world would be a much better place. Mm-hmm. And if people didn't lie to one another, what would it be like? So Jesus' words, they're so powerful, the things that he says. If we treat others the way we want to be treated, how much better it would be.
You know, these next two verses in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, is talking about applying those things.
Hmm.
It says, go in the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are there who go in through it. So what Jesus is saying, all these things that we should be doing, there's not a lot of people that do it. And it can be difficult in this world we live in.
It is.
Many people go through the wide gate or a broad gate, but that leads to destruction.
Mm.
Verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and constricted is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Mm.
I wonder how many people are looking for it.
Ed, can you think of somewhere in the Bible maybe where there was a judgment period and there were just a few people that made it?
Well, if we go to Genesis, chapter 6, I believe, is where you're taking us. I want to start in verse 5. And it says, and Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was angry to his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for I have repented that I have made them.
Mm.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah.
Wow. So here we have, it says there, the wickedness of man was great in the earth.
And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
That sounds familiar to me.
Doesn't Matthew 24 talk about as it was in the days of Noah?
Yes, it does.
So it shall be at the end of the time in the
yes,
world?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. And so here we have Jesus saying that, look, and people don't like to hear this because we know that God is a gracious God.
Yes.
We know that God is a God of love. We know when Jesus came to this earth, he showed us the love that his Father has in healing people and feeding them and caring for them and dying for them.
Yes.
Right? And we always think, well, the grace and love of Jesus is so great. But Jesus is saying, look, even though my Father's love is great, people they're not going to choose that.
Right.
They're going to choose something different.
And really, this is, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace to the world, but brought a sword. To make people choose between following God or following Satan.
Sure. And so here, Jesus is making it clear, and I know this rubs people, this rubs particularly Christians wrong when you say, according to Jesus' words, the majority of people are not going to make it into God's kingdom.
And what was the results back in Genesis 6, where God found that he made man on the earth? He said, I'm going to destroy them from the face of the earth because of the wickedness, and the thoughts of his heart were continually evil.
Mm. So on all the earth, there were likely millions of people. And how many survived that flood?
There were 8 people.
8 people.
8 people that chose to believe God when he said that he was going to bring a flood upon the earth.
Right.
There was a way of salvation.
Absolutely.
God would have provided a way for everyone.
Yes.
If they so choose. But they didn't choose life. They chose death instead.
Right. So, you know, think about that. When we read these things, as Christians, we always, I think the majority of Christianity likes to look at it as, oh, well, look at all these people that are going to be saved. Well, you know, there are billions of people on the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how many are going to be saved when Christ comes. But Jesus is making it clear. It will not be the majority. It will be a minority of people. That's why he's giving this warning. In fact, go ahead. You want to say
you
something?
You know, it just reminds me of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt.
Mm.
And God told them what would happen depending on the choices they make. If you choose to follow God, you'll have these blessings, a long life, and you won't have any conflict with your neighbors. Mm. If you choose to disobey me and follow other gods, you'll experience these curses that God describes in detail. And this is what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to read verses 11 through 20, which is the end of the chapter.
Okay.
This is Moses speaking. For this commandment which I command you today is not hidden from you, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it down to us so that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over to the sea for us, to the region beyond the sea, to bring it to us so that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may do it. Behold, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. In that I command you today to love Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, and keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and Jehovah your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if you turn away your heart, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record today against you. I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, so that both you and your seed may live, so that you may love Jehovah your God, and you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, so that you may dwell in the land which Jehovah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give it to them.
Mm.
Moses is saying, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life.
Yeah.
Choose life.
We have the choice, don't we?
Yes.
We have that choice. Even today, we have that choice. So, you know, we look at these things. God is pleading with us. Jesus is telling these people, look, narrow is the way. It's not many are going to choose this.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because we're selfish. We say we want eternal life, but we enjoy this life too much. We enjoy what the world has to offer rather than what Christ has to offer.
You know, that seems to have crept into the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
And people claim they want to follow God. They claim that they want eternal life and salvation through Him, but they don't want to be obedient to Him.
Mm.
Immorality is corrupt in the Christian church.
It is.
Look at the issues with transgender, homosexuality.
Right.
All these things are against God's word, yet the church has made it acceptable.
Yeah. More and more churches are adopting it and, right. and just saying, well, that's okay. We'll just overlook it. And how can you do that? And it's not that we're treating others badly. We're not. You don't treat people bad because of the choices that
right.
they make. You treat them with love and respect. But we have to be honest. How can someone have a position in a church if they're not living according to God's will?
And don't you think the warning should be given?
Yes.
The results of doing things against God's word?
If we love others the way we love ourselves, then we will give the warning.
Yeah.
I want to know if I'm doing something wrong.
If you're going down the road at 70 miles an hour and the bridge is out, mm. would you appreciate somebody flagging you down saying you need to stop?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Would that be a loving thing to do?
Yes, it would.
Yet the world says, you know, stop impeding me. You know, I want to keep going.
Right. Yeah. And you're going to drive right off the bridge.
Right.
Don't even know it. And so, you know, they say ignorance is bliss. And I guess until you know the facts, it can be.
Or until you start to experience the consequences of those choices.
That's right. Yeah. Very well put. You know, I think there's another account that I think of when there's a couple of them. One of them is Noah's Day. But also, even in Sodom and Gomorrah, there were only a few
right.
that came out.
Lot and his wife and two daughters, and his wife didn't make it.
Right. She turned back, didn't she? She
yeah.
looked back. And just a simple thing, God says, don't look back. Just when he says
don't
that.
Don't eat of this fruit, of
yes.
this tree.
You know, we these are simple things when we think about it.
There's so much goodness around them, and yet they choose the one thing that God says not to do.
And, hey, I've done stupid stuff like that myself.
Yeah.
I've done it. And we're not saying that it's easy, friends, and we're not saying that you do it in yourself. If we rely on Christ, if we follow Him, if we keep our prayer life good, we keep reading God's Word, this will help filter out the
right.
world.
And we have to partake in that filtering. We have to choose to turn off what we're listening to, turn off what we see on videos, maybe even to turn off preacher off.
Yes. Yeah, if the preacher's not preaching according to God's word, it's time to change the channel or change the YouTube channel or whatever we watch. Another text I think of is there was a time in history where somebody wanted worship. And he had set up this image, this great image, and he wanted people to come and worship it. And do you remember that account, Ed?
Yes, it's in Daniel chapter 2, I believe. You're talking about Nebuchadnezzar when some of the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon.
Mm.
And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream.
Yeah.
The dream is in chapter 2. The image is in chapter 3. That you're talking about. In this dream, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he woke up in the morning and was upset, but he couldn't even remember the dream, let alone know the interpretation of it. So he called all his magicians and astrologers and soothsayers together and said, "You need to tell me what this dream is and the interpretation of it, and if you don't, you're going to lose your lives."
Mm.
And they're saying to the king, "No, be reasonable. You know, no man can do this, you know?"
Yeah, how am I going to tell you what you dreamed?
Yeah. And so apparently Daniel wasn't there, and he found out about this when one of the guards came to take him to put him to death.
Mm.
He said, whoa, time out, you know? Let me talk to the king. And so he was brought into Nebuchadnezzar and asked him for time so he could pray to God and ask God to give him the interpretation of that dream, and what the dream was and the interpretation. And that eventually happened.
It did.
Now in chapter 3, what you're talking about is Nebuchadnezzar in this dream, the interpretation of the dream was there was this image with a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thigh of brass, legs of iron, and feet of clay and iron mixed together. Mm-hmm. And there was a stone cut up in the cut out of the mountain that came and destroyed the image and broke it to the pieces. This was the history of the world.
Yes.
With that first head of gold being Babylon, that power of Babylon. The next, the silver arms and chest would be Medo-Persia. The brass belly and thighs would be Greece. The iron legs would be Rome. And then the feet with iron and clay mixed together is Rome divided.
Mm-hmm.
This is the history of the world that's occurred.
It is. Absolutely.
The only thing left of that dream is the stone cut out of the mountain.
Yeah. Everything else has happened, hasn't it?
Yeah. And so King Nebuchadnezzar didn't want his kingdom to end. So he made that image all of gold.
All of what the head that represented Babylon was made of.
And so he had all the ambassadors, all the rulers of different parts of his kingdom come together, and he made a decree that you should bow down when you hear the music. At the time you hear the music, you bow down and worship this image.
Mm. So when we look at that account, that you said that's Daniel chapter 3. So there were some people who bowed and there were some who didn't.
Very few who did.
Yeah. So can we look at that?
Sure.
So let's see. I find that in Daniel chapter 3, and like you said, he told them that they were going to play this music, and when that happened, everybody had to kneel down and worship this image. And keep in mind, I want everybody to consider this in the context of Jesus' words, that many will not find this narrow road to life, right? Only a few find it, he says. That was his words. Mm-hmm. A few will find it. So where would you suggest we pick up?
Maybe in verse 8.
Did you want to read that?
Sure, I can start. This is the Modern King James, Daniel 3:8. Then at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who shall hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship, he shall be thrown into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are men, Jews, whom you have set up over the business of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, do not heed you. They do not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and wrath, commanded them to be brought, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, zither, the lyre, harp, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if you do not worship, in that moment you shall be thrown into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hand?
Mm.
Wow, that's a challenge to God.
It is. Absolutely.
Look at the response. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to return a word to you on this matter. If it is so that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, then he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up.
Mm.
They had faith in God.
Absolutely.
But their faith in God was not for him to do what they wanted.
Right.
Their faith in God was that God would do things according to his will, whether it meant life for them
or death.
Or for death.
Right. They were choosing life because they were following what God wanted them to do.
They were choosing eternal life.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we mistake what faith is all about.
Mm.
Being under the understanding or being told that if you have enough faith, what you want will happen. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
That's not what these men believed. Their faith was in God, that whatever his will was for their life, that was what would be best for them.
Amen.
And that's what they put their trust and faith in God.
Even if it wasn't what they wanted at that moment.
I'm sure they didn't want to die. I'm sure they didn't want to be thrown in a burning fiery furnace.
I know I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But what happens here?
Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and the form of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated.
Mm.
And he commanded many men in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were tied up in their slippers, their tunics, and their mantles, and their other clothes, and were thrown into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Then, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these mighty men from the furnace that threw them into the furnace were killed because of the heat and the flame of the furnace.
On the outside.
Yes, as they were throwing them in. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was amazed, and he rose up in haste and spoke and said to his advisors, "Did we not throw three men bound in the middle of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Behold, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and there is no harm among them, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God."
Mm. So it appears that Jesus was in there with them.
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the burning fire furnace. He answered and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the middle of the fire. And the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the king advisors gathered and saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. And the hair of their head was not scorched, nor were their slippers changed, nor had the smell of fire clung on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and has delivered his servants who trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and given their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God."
Hmm.
How many men chose not to worship?
There were only three right
there
here.
There were three that took the narrow way.
Yeah. And this is why Jesus said that only few will find it. There were only a few in Noah's day. There were only a few in Sodom and Gomorrah. There were only a few here.
Many over the centuries have given up their lives and have chosen the narrow way. They have become martyrs for Jesus.
Yes, they have. And even his disciples that were with him, the apostles, they chose the narrow way. And, you know, we look back and we read their words today. We see the witness that they gave for Jesus. We can do that same thing today.
Yes. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Amen. Amen.
That's Philippians 4:13. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen. No one comes to the Father
but by me.
Yeah. So, you know, these accounts are here, friends, not to scare anybody. It's to encourage us. Because look at the power of God to save those eight people through a worldwide flood.
Right.
To save Lot and his daughters from this horrible fire and brimstone raining from heaven. to save these three faithful men from this fiery furnace that had been heated seven times hotter.
When you look at each one of those accounts in the Bible, there was such evil in the world in Noah's day that God decided to destroy men. The only thing that kept him from destroying everyone was the faithfulness of Noah to him and his family, eight people. We look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for the very same things that are happening in our world today.
Yes.
And only three people were saved there.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Nebuchadnezzar and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were commanded to worship another god than the God who created the heavens and the earth. And they refused. There was only three that refused that. All these conditions exist in the world today. We're being told to worship other gods besides the God who created the heavens and the earth and his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We're being told to worship other gods. The homosexuality and these things are being, actually, there are agendas.
Yes.
There are laws being passed. And
not just in this country.
No, worldwide.
Oh.
And, well, there are some parts of the world where they still condemn it, but again, they're not showing the love that we read about.
Right.
You know, part of the love that we should have is not condoning the sin, but trying to help the sinner to overcome the sin.
And there's laws against that too.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, we need to make sure that we do things according to God's way, not our own selfish ways. So, you know, this is an interesting study because, you know, looking at Noah's day, Lot's day, Daniel's day, and we know ultimately at the end of time, there's going to be a final time. This will stop. It will end. Sin will be wiped away forever at some point. Ed, do you have a thought there?
Well, yeah. I don't know how much time we have.
We have just a few more minutes.
There's a parable in Matthew 22, the parable of the wedding feast.
Okay. Yeah, let's look at that.
And it talks about a king who made a marriage for his son, and he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding.
What chapter was that again?
Matthew 22.
Got it.
And they would not come, verse 4. And he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage." But not caring, they went their ways, one to the field, another to his trading. And the rest took his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. When the king heard, he was angry, he sent out his armies, and he destroyed these murderers and burned up their cities. And he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but they who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go to the exits of the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite them to the marriage." So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with reclining guests. And the king, coming to look over the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. And the king said to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few chosen."
So it's sounded down again there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the garment that we want is the garment that Christ covers us with.
Yeah, his righteousness.
Yes. It's that spiritual armor that we talked about a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians.
Right.
And he provides that for us, God does, through his Son. And so we need to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ.
This parable is talking about the end of the world.
Absolutely.
And it's talking about there's a judgment that's going to be happening. And if you don't have the righteousness of Christ, what hope do you have?
You have none.
It's not only his righteousness to cover our sins, but his righteousness to change our hearts and minds to become obedient to God and be following his law, his statutes, and his judgments.
So, yeah, it's so true. So we started in Matthew chapter 7. Let me get back there. And these were the texts that we considered, that we opened with. "Whatever you want men to do to you," this is 7 verse 12, "do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So we establish that these things, we should have been doing this all along.
Right.
It's part of God's law.
Right.
And then mine says the narrow way. So it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus knows it's not easy.
Right. Some may ask, well, how do I find this narrow gate? You know, look into God's word.
Amen.
Pray for wisdom and knowledge to understand his word. Because God wants us to live our lives a certain way, according to the way he designed us and created us to live, by how we treat each other, by honoring God and his son, Jesus Christ, understanding the gospel of salvation, because Christ died for my sins,
Amen.
My disobedience, and I can have salvation and being reconciled to God. But also to help me live a better life, to overcome sin, which is disobedience to God in
yes.
my life.
Yeah, simply put, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So I hope that you found this an encouraging lesson that we've discussed here today, an encouraging Bible study. If there are changes you need to make in your lives, friends, and we all have them,
right?
Then please pray about it. Think about these things. God isn't seeking a way to destroy you. He's seeking a way to give you eternal life.
Yes.
That's why he sent his son.
And to have life more abundantly in the life that we now live on this earth.
Amen. So we're out of time, Ed. There were a few more points I wanted to make. Maybe we can kind of recount this next week. And it's been a really good study. Thank you so much for helping us out here. And friends, let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, and we see these accounts, these real life accounts, these things that took place in your Bible. Father, help us to reflect on these things and to recognize that your will is to save us and not to condemn us. And we're just grateful that you sent your son. Help us to learn these things, to live according to your will and not our own. And Father, we know that you sent your son to help us overcome. So we pray that you will just allow us to be able to see this with our own eyes and to be able to do these things. Please be with us until we come together again. And Father, we're grateful for every gift you give us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, I want to welcome you back next week right here on New Visions Radio. And we're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.